The scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. We'll read verses 2 through verse 7. Exodus chapter 16, beginning with verse 2. The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites said to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you've brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to make bread rain down from the sky for you. The people will go out each day and gather just enough for that day. In this way, I'll test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, when they measure out what they've collected, it will be twice as much as they collected on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the Lord's gracious presence, because your complaints against the Lord have been heard." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this scripture reading, we find the Israelites making their way into the trying days of the wilderness. Caught up in the struggle of uncertain paradigm shifts, which challenged them to see God and themselves in new ways, they were heard to be grumbling. Who could blame them? They were hungry and tired. They were moving ever so slowly into uncharted territory. They had no idea what the future would hold. But in their minds, it had to be even worse than the place of bondage from which they were fleeing. They were hungry and tired. They were hangry. So they grumbled. We're all tired. From time to time, we feel stuck in the middle of nowhere, heading God knows where. Every horizon seeming more barren than the last, with life moving at the speed of wood, we are prone to grumble too. Above our grumbling and the rumbling of our tummies, let's try to hear the story of God's response to the Israelites as they complained. God heard their cry and gave them bread. Manna from heaven, strength for their journey. Bread. The Hebrew word for bread is lechem, as in Bethlehem or Bethlehem, house of bread. One meaning of the word lechem, bread, is to joining together, maybe as in putting together all the ingredients of making bread. Perhaps another implication can be drawn from this definition, joining together. Norman Wiersbe, in his book, Food and Faith, A Theology for Eating, writes, "Bread is central in joining a people together as a civilization. For every civilization to survive, he says, its people must come together to learn to cultivate, harvest, mill, cook, and consume bread together. For every culture, the result of coming together is bread. It is bread that is the center of gathering of people at a table for meals, the oldest and most universal of human rituals. Bread is the glue that is used to build relationships." So, as Wiersbe is saying, all the Israelites really needed was a little bread to make them a people, to build a relationship with one another and with God. Well, if Wiersbe is expecting the travel log of Moses to record at this point, and they all ate bread and lived happily ever after, he better think again. Bread indeed gave them strength for their journey, but it did not have what it took to make them a people, a community united around and identified by their commitment to one another and to their God. That would take more than a little bit of bread, be it ever so miraculous. In the very next chapter of Exodus, the people are thirsty. Having forgotten about the bread, they ask, Is God really with us or not? Another meaning of the root word for lechem is to go to war. The absence of bread, even the fear of a bread shortage, has often been enough to cause riots or bring armies to a starving halt. From the starving Israelites wandering in the wilderness to the countless masses of those living without food security in our own country today, those living without bread would tell us that life without bread is truly a war. To loosely paraphrase the Master, people are not held together by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Ah, bread and words. So in Exodus chapter 20, God says, "Get your manna to go, Moses, and head up that mountain over there. I have some words for you." There Moses receives the Ten Commandments. Catherine Johnston explains, "In order to be community, we need rules. Without rules, there's chaos and people get hurt. To be sure, people get hurt even with rules, but usually that's because we ignore the rules or we disagree about them or we don't like someone else's interpretation of them." The Ten Commandments. Like bread, they've been known to do both, bind people together and provide a basis for exclusion, even to induce battles. Along the way, it has been common to add more rules in order to shape community and give order to its ensuing chaos. The Israelites had far more than just Ten Commandments. They needed them, says Johnston, to keep a tight, healthy, long-lasting community. Bread is what it takes to make you a community, says Wiersbe. It's rules that do that, says Johnson. Jesus says it takes both, bread and words. Bread is a word that follows Christ throughout his life. He was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. Account after account finds Jesus breaking bread with his followers. He is criticized when he breaks bread with sinners. He is followed by many because he gives bread to the multitudes. On the night in which he was betrayed, he broke bread with his disciples and said, "Take this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." As we approach the communion table today, we will do well to remember that Jesus gave us both bread and words at the table. As was often the case, Jesus takes a different approach than those who would add to the words of the commandments or use them as a source of division. Replying earlier in his ministry to a question about which of the commandments was the greatest, he responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then, on the night he was betrayed, he said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." To shape a community, to give stability and strength to a community, facing the kind of challenge the disciples were facing, the kind of change we still often face ourselves, Jesus knew full well it takes both bread and words. When it comes to words, Jesus kept it simple. His focus was on one word, love. As we think about World Communion Sunday this week, I wonder how this all comes together. Where do these lines intersect? On World Communion Sunday, we are mindful of the communion of saints across the ages. We are reminded that as believers, we share one faith, one baptism, and one Lord. The bread and cup have united us across all barriers of time and place, across barriers of culture, color, and tongue. But is bread enough? Does it draw us together in a meaningful and practical way? When we see the division that still exists, even between those who claim to be followers of Christ, we have to wonder, bread is really putting us together. Jesus would tell us it takes both, bread and words. Really, just one word, love. Love is the key giving shape to and maintaining the community of faith. What does that love look like? The kind of love that Jesus was talking about was the kind of love that took up a towel and washed the feet of those at the table. Love that was humble and served the needs of others. Love that put the needs and well-being of others ahead of one's own. Jesus gave the broken bread to his friends, telling them to take and eat it. As such, each one who received the bread was invited into solidarity of that brokenness, a shared and communal brokenness that is not only remembered today, but also entered into and felt just as fully as we feel the literal broken bread in our hands. In the midst of our wandering, in our own wilderness of uncertainty, and in the harsh desert of our own spiritual formation, we need strength for our journey. In the midst of our suffering and sorrow, we need comfort. In a world of such overwhelming and shared brokenness, we need something to bring us together. It takes more than bread to do that. We need both bread and words. Today, God has heard our cry. We are given both bread and words that bind us in faithful covenant with God and with one another. Bread and words that do far more than give us strength for our journey. These are bread and words that have the power to transform us and truly shape us into a people we are to become. Today, on World Communion Sunday, we are reminded that we are brought together and held together as one people, God's people, but not by bread alone. Amen.